Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today is February the 11th, 2017. This is our new broadcast time for our live program, our live broadcast every Saturday evening, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, running up to about a quarter to nine, just depends on how much caller participation. Sometimes we can run long. But we do encourage caller participation, and since I'm mentioning that, let me go ahead and give out the numbers ahead of giving you the lineup for tonight. Got a lot of news to share with you. A lot of stuff does not even make it onto the program because we have a limited amount of time, but we'll also share some quick news headlines with you, but a lot of important stories to talk about tonight or to share with you, including international stories coming from the continent of Africa. Although people have been led to believe that this area is the Middle East, like it's not a part of Africa. But we do have some international news, and of course, we're always keeping an eye on 21st century slavery and human trafficking here in the United States, because this is the belly of the beast. This is the home of legalized slavery, and from here those tentacles reach out all across the world. I just really don't think people give enough thought to that, but of course that information is not being shared over the mass communication networks. So, but let me give out that phone number. That phone number is 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, or 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Hit **. When we open up the phone lines for commentary, which is usually after I share the first story, but we're going to try to keep to a schedule so we can get all these stories out. But again, we do encourage callers. Just try to be curt and to the point. We got to be more concise with our language, and I'm learning that in terms of some other stuff going on behind the scenes that on my mind, but I'm not going to share publicly. Now, before I get started, let me give you some network news. This morning, I sent out, well, actually it was this afternoon, right before the Black Talk Media Project sponsored New Media webinar that happens every Saturday, which I host from 1 p.m. Eastern to 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And during the first part of it, I, you know, talked about the Trump administration and the FCC and the possible impact that can be had on black media, independent black media, and the if they are hostile to the open internet and if they're going to gut the net neutrality rules. I actually put out a video podcast as I was testing some of the new software and on the new computer, as I do in terms of BTR News, want to produce more content with video interviews, short little podcasts, which we have been putting out. But this morning, I also sent out, in case any of the hosts or any of our media partners, those are those who make donations to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. But this morning, this afternoon, I sent out the podcast statistical report. Shout out to our sister Melissa over there in the UK, who produces the podcast reports. Earlier this week, I sent out the station stats for Black Talk Radio's digital radio station, our main station, although the platform carries several different radio stations. So I sent that out, and our numbers were kind of down to about 60,000, reached about 60,000 people worldwide in the month of January, obviously 2017, as we're in a new year. But she produced the podcast report, and we have done some new things in terms of distribution for our clients and those shows that we support on this network, or I should say this particular station, because the network is many different individuals working in a collaborative platform. But I'm gonna go. I sent this out, but I'm gonna share the summary as written by Sister Melissa. Again, thank you for your contribution to this media effort. But this is what she wrote. The short, the podcast access through the network this month was, or January 2017, was 42,110. Last month, which would have been December 2016, 28,420 were distributed, but that's before I made some moves and some decisions to start distributing our programming through other networks. And so she said that represented a month-to-month increase of 13,690 podcasts. But this is like a 31-page report. Again, it's sent out to those who are media partners, donors to Black Talk Media Project, and, of course, the hosts and clients who are distributing content through our network or through this station. So this is her summary. She says 2017 has gotten off to an amazing start, achieving 62,110. This isn't even at 100%, so let me blow up this text a little bit so I can see it clearly. That was 42,110 total access this month. During the month, BTR widened its reach by making its content available on Blog Talk Radio and SoundCloud. Even though Blog Talk was brought on stream towards the end of the month, that was January, I think it was like the last week or two, week and a half of January, it contributed 10,000 podcast downloads to the overall BTR total. Next month results should be even better, as Spreaker is added as another platform for listeners to access the BTR podcast. So you may have noticed we have started incorporating Spreaker services. We're actually running two different stations, a station here at our network home, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Obviously, you got to have your own in case anything happens on other platforms and they try to shut you down, as has been the case with us in the past, but I'm not going to rehash old history. But I do like their media players, and I've gotten some feedback from visitors to the website on how easy it incorporates. I tested it on different devices, and it's just better than the media player I was using. So we have incorporated. These are all paid services that we're using to distribute these podcasts. If we find that they are not worth in terms of distributing black produced content for black people through these different platforms, then we will suspend our usage. But thus far, from the data we have collected over a couple of weeks, things are looking pretty good. Pretty good. She goes on to write, also this month, Black Talk Radio News reduced the number of its 2-hour weekly broadcasts, opting instead to do 1 2-hour broadcast per week and shorter news clips periodically in the week. The change in schedule seems to be working well, as the show achieved its highest download rating since July last year. The Barbershop has also made changes to its programming by adding news vignettes. This has also proved popular with listeners, causing the show to more than double its downloads in the month. Hope this encouraging start will ensure that this becomes a regular daily feature for the show. The Lotus Place was rebranded towards the end of last year and is now name, mind, body, and spirit. So again, this is a 31-page report as we try to, well, not try to, but we do keep our media partners informed, whether they're donors or whether they're clients who utilizes the services that we offer through the station or through the platform with podcast hosting and whatnot. So it's 31 pages because we have a number of programs either on the station or podcasting on the platform. And she gives individual breakdowns. This is what some of them have been asking for, some of the hosts, in terms of advertising, being able to show it to potential sponsors. So starting off 2017 as a good year for independent black media. But if you did not catch the video that I just issued maybe about an hour and a half ago, distributed through our YouTube channel, but I broadcast it live on Facebook, but then uploaded that video to our YouTube channel, which is Black Talk Media or Black Talk Radio. You'll find our YouTube channel. Become a subscriber. But I talked about the threat to our operation, our media operation, and those like us, independent media, and why it is important for you to financially support those platforms that you frequent, whether it is Black Talk Radio Network, which again is managed by the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, or is blackagendareport.com. They take donations. Breakingbrown.com. She puts out good reports in news, and she takes donations. So you have to support independent media if you want it to stick around, or you'll be reduced to showcase black people reading scripts, which is not to inform you but to confuse you. So it's very important that you support. Again, we do have t-shirts that you can get as a thank you gift in return for a donation to the Black Talk Media Project. Different levels of donations correlate with the size that you want. So check out the shops that we have on Facebook, Black Talk Media Project's Facebook page, and Black Talk Radio Network Facebook page. You can get those different shirts in exchange for a donation to the nonprofit. And I need to put it on my to-do list, add a shop to blacktalkmediaproject.org and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I already have the back end set up for that, but I'm new to the software and I just haven't really had time to really investigate it and use it for myself or sandbox it, because I've been so busy helping others with their platforms or their podcasts and what have you. Let me see if there are any other network news that I need to give out before I continue on with our program. I can't think of anything, so I'm just going to go through some quick headlines. Some of this might be related to what we're talking about, what I'm going to be sharing with you tonight. Some of it's not, but I just want to share the headlines. Why You Mad, Son Radio, shout out to Cha Boogie. What's the name? We supported it last year. We'll be supporting it this year. The Hip Hop Film Festival NYC. So it'll be Hip Hop Film Festival 2017 this year, as her media company launches another film festival for independent media producers. You can submit shorts, full length videos. They can be drama or comedy or documentaries. And it was really a success last year, and hopefully we can send another tag back out there, who is our intern, send him back out there if he can fit it in his schedule. But they share the news on their Facebook page. Black Why You Mad Son Radio said that as his contribution to Black History Month, Trump signs 3 executive orders giving the police more power. I think we kind of knew that was coming. Based off of the rhetoric and the record of Jeff Sessions, who took over as the U.S. Attorney General. Other news, again, I also shared on our Facebook page. You can check out that video. Net neutrality under Trump and Republicans can open internet survive the next 4 years. That's some video commentary that I gave earlier today. You can find it on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. going to start uploading more video to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just trying to figure out what in what format. Okay, what else is on here? There was a web conference tonight for justice for three drowned black girls murdered by the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. The victims' names were Ashanti Butler, Dominique Battle, Lanaya Miller. I seem like I remember this story. It's about a year or two old, and they were allegedly joyriding and crashed the car into a pond or a small lake, and the cops let them drown. No attempt to rescue them. They wasn't playing hero that day. They was just, oh, let these niggas drown. So, yeah. So that was earlier. Actually, it's still going on. It'll be going on for another hour, as it is from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. Let's see. On day of Heath's arrest, attorney still fighting for his freedom. I posted this story in our BTRcommunity.com. That is our digital safe space for people of color, primarily black people, a social media network that we set up called BTRcommunity.com. It's really based on Black Talk Radio Network and all our listeners in the social media community. In case they ever get thrown in Facebook jail, they can still come over, you know, come home and still engage in social media. Check out BTRcommunity.com. $24 a year subscription, but you won't be bombarded with any kind of ads or anything. Not that I'm saying anything about ads, because hey, it costs money to produce media, and for those that can get advertisement money, it's not too much I can say about it. But anyway, the story that I shared on BTR Community, let me open it up, this story. It kind of highlights, this was my comment, this type of illegal voting doesn't get highlighted much, but these white people did this in order to put certain people in power on a local board. That is a story that was published in the Houston Chronicle. This person got a 3-year prison sentence, and it's a white man. So we hear a lot, Trump been talking about illegal voting, and it does happen. It does happen. But it's not always who they want you to think it is. Now, I did read another story where this woman came here illegally across the border. That's not a criminal offense. It's a civil offense. But she voted. Now, she should have known she couldn't vote. But she figured since she had a job and she had a was paying taxes, that she was a citizen, and somebody did not inform her that if you use false documents to get a job, if you use false documents to fill out a voter registration card, because really, you know, and I didn't really want to get into this today because I'm working on producing a report on this later, but the whole immigration thing, they've been rounding up people in Charlotte and all across the nation. And so, but I was reading this article, and it said that these people were law-abiding. They said that ICE said they were only going to go after the hardened criminals, those with felony convictions and violent crimes. And but they grabbed up this mother of two and grabbed her up from the job. They got this guy in Charlotte at the school. He had enrolled his child in school. His child, I don't know if this child was born here or not. But that's where they got him at. At least that's where they showed on the local news media. But look, if you operate for them to say they were law abiding, look, I'm sympathetic to the immigrant plight, especially with all of the global destabilization that is emanating from the United States. But at the same time, though, you come here and you steal resources from people, and you're using fraudulent identities. So that is a crime. And black people get thrown in prison every day, prison full of them. American citizens for using fraudulent identities, engaging in not to vote or anything like that, but different way, other ways. Still, it's the same. So while I'm sympathetic to their plight, at the same time, though, I'm also acknowledging that these people, you know, are not innocent, as people are trying to make them out to be. I don't care if they're not violent criminals. They still use fraudulent documents, stolen identities, or fake identities to operate in this society. And black people go to prison every day for doing the same sort of things. Especially poor black people. We all know, I've heard of people putting electricity services and stuff like that in their children's name under their Social Security because they fell behind on the bill, couldn't pay it, whatnot, so they cut off and so need electricity, they move, and so the only way they can get it is put. Those are like crimes of poverty, forced crimes, you know, things of that nature. So, but again, why don't they stay home? Stay home is what I advise you and fight against your government. But again, the U.S. is not innocent. But look at all the welfare that they give these other countries. So go to your go back home, and then go to your people ruling your country and say, hey, the United States giving you hundreds of millions of dollars. What are they giving you that welfare for? We need some of that. You can give it to us in food stamps, whatever. You know, and again, I don't support welfare for these other nations, but again, I try to be objective on how I look at these issues. But getting back to what I originally started talking about, I've seen two instances of news stories coming out about fake voting. But this one right here, this guy, he says the state's years-long illegal voting case against a Woodlands man culminated with his arrest and commencement of a 3-year prison sentence Tuesday morning. Deputies arrested Adrian Heath, whose 2014 felony conviction and a 3-year prison sentence for voting illegally was upheld by a Texas court in December. He was arrested by deputies at his home in the Woodlands around 10:30 a.m. So this had something to do with some kind of business graft, you know, and they wanted certain people in this certain place, district or whatnot. And so they all moved into a hotel and used the hotel as their, these are all white people, used their hotel as their residence and then illegally voted to oust some members of that board and put the people in that they wanted to. So you don't typically hear about that kind of illegal voting, and I suspect it goes on more than is being reported. Okay, let me see what else. Oh, by the way, if you miss the podcast or the broadcast Friday night of Race Treaty, it's titled The Role of Forgiveness is the Black Struggle for Freedom. And this is supposed to be a multi-series broadcast or podcast. And they did part one. And the guest was a man named Ulysses Butch Slaughter. And as a teenager, I believe, he saw his father. He didn't see it. He heard him shoot him. And then heard his father say, I had to shoot her, but killed his mother and ended up testifying against his father. This happened in the late 70s, and his father went to prison, and then how he, you know, just had so much hate in his heart for his father, wanted to kill his father, had plotted for many years on how he was going to kill his father, and then meeting his father and then going through sort of like a, how did they describe it? Like a ceremony, like a village forgiveness ceremony, like a rites of passage or something. And it's a very touching story about forgiveness of family members. Now, I misinterpreted that headline when I first saw it, when they sent it to me for me to publish and put out the promos. I hope he ain't talking about forgiving nobody for no slavery, because it's still going on and there hasn't been any kind of apology. And along with an apology, it's supposed to be restitution. And so they ain't paid reparations and they continue to practice slavery. So no forgiveness here. I don't even want to hear nothing like that. But I was thankfully mistaken. Sometimes you can be misled by some headlines, I tell you. All right, so I think that's pretty much it. These other stories that are posted are kind of, we'll be kind of going over them tonight. What time is it? We got about 20 after. I'll go ahead and start on this first story, which is out of Chicago. It is the headline story. I'm not going to save it to last. I'm just go with the headline in order. most important, what I, you know, all these stories are important, but what I feel like is something people really need to be paying attention to, especially here behind enemy lines, with slavery being legalized as it is. But Chicago PD thug cleared by district attorney after killing innocent bystander. And I want to talk about two people were actually killed, but not focus on the young man that was killed, whose father called the popo on him, said he was acting erratically and swinging a bat and what have you. But I'm focusing on the mother and grandmother who were just standing in her house going about her business when, you know, and I paint this scenario. Let me share how I wrote this up for you. I want you to imagine in your mind, just, you know, play a role play with me. Imagine your mother or grandmother standing in her home and going about her business when, without warning, she falls to the floor from a fatal gunshot wound. You go to visit Nana, and there is a bullet hole in the front door, a clear indication that she did not kill herself. Someone obviously is responsible for killing a law-abiding citizen just standing in her home. However, according to the newly elected Cook County State Prosecutor, or at least her office, no one is responsible and thus no one will be held to account. Now, you already had the clue that slave catchers, CPD slave catchers, are responsible for killing this law-abiding American citizen just standing in her home, going about her life without warning. But imagine, though, this is whoever doing the shooting up of black communities in Chicago. Suppose it had been a gangbanger or what have you, some gang warfare. You know how sometimes they do drive-by shootings on somebody that's walking down the street and a car come rolling down the street and they open up on them with an AK-47 or whatever their weapon of choice is. And we've seen those stories where a bullet travels through the window or through the wall and kills someone. What happens to that person if they catch that person? And in Chicago, they don't seem to be catching too many of these people responsible for these shootings. So, but anyway, what would happen is if they caught the person, that person will be prosecuted, even though they did not mean to kill the person who was standing in their house making a bologna sandwich. No, they didn't mean to. They was trying to shoot the guy that was walking down the street and was just happened to be passing in front of her house at the time. Then you know they gonna charge that person probably with murder, probably second degree or third degree murder, depending upon what statutes are on the books in that state. But in the very least, they're going to be charged with involuntary manslaughter, at least. Now, y'all know that's true. You know that's true. So someone in the Cook County Prosecutor Office, they're trying to pass the buck. Let me open up the article from DNAinfo.com, which was written by Erica Damaris and Kelly Bauer. Cook County Criminal Courthouse prosecutors will not file charges against the Chicago police officer who fatally shot Quintino LeGreer and Betty Jones in 2015. The Cook County State Attorney's Office announced on Friday, so that was yesterday. Jones, 55, was shot and killed when officers responded to a domestic disturbance call involving LeGreer. Now, I'm not sure if this was like a duplex or apartment building or a mixed neighborhood, mixed use neighborhood, but he, I think, lived upstairs. I'm not sure exactly, but they lived in close proximity to one another. And so his father called the police claiming he was swinging a baseball bat at someone. Early reports were saying like he was suffering from some kind of mental breakdown, but his family is now disputing that. So that's how the slave catchers, the CPD slave catchers, came on into that community and on that street. So they were responding to that call. And even though this young man didn't have a gun, I wasn't there, I can't tell you, I haven't seen any video, any dash cam or body cam video, so I can't tell you if he's tried to swing on officers. I don't know. I don't know. All I do know is bats do not shoot projectiles, and they do not shoot. So you could have, you know, I've disarmed people with bats before. So anyway, they were responding to that call, and they shot and killed him. Now, he was outside of his home, as is described in this article, outside of his Austin home. After thorough review, the Office of the Cook County State's Attorney has concluded that there is insufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Officer Robert Realmo did not act in self-defense in shooting LeGreer and Jones. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox said in a statement Friday. Now, Kim Fox, I remember reporting that she got elected because of Black Lives Matter in Chicago and other grassroots activism and get out the votes efforts to replace Anita Alvarez, who sat on the video and did not charge the CPD thug. I forget his name right now, but he murdered Laquan McDonald. She sat on that. So she lost the upcoming election after that became known to Kim Fox. So just to let you know that there has been a change in administrations at the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. Now, this is what I don't get. Now, this came out his mouth. Now, her mouth. She said this. How was he acting in self-defense in shooting Jones? She wasn't doing nothing. What was Miss Betty doing but standing in her own home? How was that self-defense? The statement continued. The purpose of the state's preview was solely to examine whether the conduct of Officer Realmo was unlawful. The state's attorney's review specifically does not address issues related to tactics, whether Officer Realmo followed police procedures, whether he should be subject to discipline, his employment status, or the merits of any civil litigation. This is Mrs. Fox, or Miss Fox. Fox's office was quick to point out that Fox herself was not directly involved in reviewing the 2015 case. Her previous employer, Power Rogers and Smith, represents Jones' estate. Instead, First Assistant State's Attorney Eric Sussman served as the lead investigator. So, but I look at this as passing the buck. She is the state's attorney. He works for her. She has the final say. So apparently she's signing off on his investigator. So why point out then that she was not directly involved? Obviously, based off of what her statements said are indicating is that she agrees with it. So they're trying to practice deception here. Let me get to the part about Miss Jones, but I'm gonna do that on the other side of this station identification break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting every Saturday as a weekly program at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Our broadcast home is BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother...
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Crazy.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. If you have a question or comment, we will open up the lines. The telephone number is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. 704-802-5056 is an alternative number. That's 704-802-5056. Hit star. If I don't see you on the board because I'm looking at an article or talking and I'm just not paying attention, just mention my name and I will be alerted and come to you. Watch your background noise, please. If you do choose to call in, do your best to minimize the background noise. Okay, so let me continue on with this article again that comes from DNAinfo.com. The shooting happened around 4:30 a.m. December the 26th, day after Christmas, 2015, after police were called to a two-flat apartment building. So I kind of remembered that it was a two-flat apartment building in a 4700 block of West Erie Street, where they were confronted, this is according to the Popo, by a combative subject swinging a baseball bat. According to Jones's family, LaGrea's father had called 911 and said his son was swinging a baseball bat in the building upstairs apartment. Police fatally shot LaGrea on the scene, authorities said, and Jones was accidentally struck and tragically killed when a bullet ripped through her first floor apartment. The Reverend Jesse Jackson said at least one bullet traveled through the front of Jones's homes, went through several rooms, and came back out the house. All right, so this story, they go on and detail some other twists and turns to this, because you then had the killer cop, what was the cop's name, Joel Brodsky, I believe is his name, filed a lawsuit against LaGrea's estate seeking more than $10 million, talking about, oh, he was traumatized from shooting this young black man, and he, of course, he referenced his racial classification in the system of slavery, but anyway, saying that he was forced, no, I'm sorry, that is the attorney, Joel Brodsky, Realmo, I think that's how you pronounce his name, talking about he was forced to shoot LaGrea, so let me sue this. And again, in most of these states, and I'm pretty sure in Illinois, they have laws on the books, state laws on the books that protect slave catchers from individual lawsuits, because the Jones family should be able to file an individual lawsuit against this killer cop for reckless endangerment and involuntary manslaughter, which means you didn't mean to kill her, but your reckless actions brought about her death, her homicide. Now, I have not seen the autopsy report, but clearly it's a homicide. Gunshot wounds are not natural causes, okay? So anyway, it goes on to describe the young man who was shot. But I'm really focusing on Miss Betty here. Miss Betty is most certainly a victim in how you could come, well, I know how you could come to this conclusion that nobody is responsible for Miss Betty's death. Okay, I know indifference, you don't care. I suspect this is a white male, and we know how they operate in a system of slavery that practices slavery in a race-based fashion primarily. So I can't find any logic in this conclusion. Now, if you have any insights that you want to share, that maybe I'm looking at this all wrong and think that somebody should be held responsible for the death of 55-year-old Miss Betty Jones, then please present that argument. But it appears more of the same. A new prosecutor probably kept on, don't quote me on this, but this, what's his name? Eric Sussman probably is a holdover from the previous prosecutor. Miss Fox probably didn't come in and clean house, which she should have done, because what occurred under Anita Alvarez for the past 30 years, even covering up and not prosecuting John Burge, and then late recently covering up the murder of Laquan McDonald, then you had co-conspirators. Everybody in that office knew what was going on. So how can you expect a different result when you haven't drained the swamp, as they said Donald Trump was going to do in Washington as it relates to lobbyists? It does not appear Ms. Fox went in there and drained the swamp in a cesspool that is the Cook County prosecutor's office, state prosecutor's office. So those are my thoughts on that. This another murder, another American citizen whose life don't matter. That is how else can you interpret this decision? All right, since we don't have any comments, I will move on to the next story. This is a story that's very exciting to me. I'm an abolitionist. I'm a new abolitionist, indicating that I'm part of a movement that kind of went dormant because so many people got fooled into thinking that slavery was abolished after the Civil War and did not realize that the Confederate senators and members of Congress and generals were welcomed back into the Union with open arms and immediately allowed to participate in drafting legislation pertaining to slavery, the 13th Amendment. So it should have been an expected outcome. I tell you, man, Abraham Lincoln, a compromiser, that's what he is. So anyway, as an abolitionist, it is exciting to me whenever news hits the mainstream and people are being made aware that slavery was never abolished. We have a program on Black Talk Radio Network called New Abolitionist Radio. If you missed the Wednesday night broadcast, please check it out. We actually got a call in from somebody on a modern prison plantation. Talked about 20, 30 minutes. Okay, so check that out, New Abolitionist Radio. But that's what we've been focusing on for the past 5 years. And when I saw this story, I kind of added some commentary when I shared it in btrcommunity.com and shared it to the other social networks. But I said that New Abolitionist Radio and Black Talk Radio planted the mass media seeds. And right now, Netflix and Ava DuVernay are watering those seeds. And we hope that the result will be a bounty, a harvest of new abolitionists. So let me just share what I wrote, and we can get into that if you have any questions. The media company that paid for the production of the Oscar-nominated documentary 13th, directed by Ava DuVernay, recently took out a full-page ad in the New York Times highlighting the glaring fact that slavery is still operating as an institution enforced through the loophole that allows slavery and involuntary servitude to exist if the person has been duly convicted of a crime. The Netflix ad in the New York Times is titled Plantation to Prison. I repeat that, Plantation to Prison. And its opening monologue states, the 13th Amendment officially abolished slavery in 1865. Yet involuntary servitude persists 152 years later due to a loophole that shifted the practice to U.S. prisons. Now, I'm going to stop right there before I read on and get to the ad itself. When this was posted, I believe by Max on social media, Facebook page, some activists were concerned about that language, and they did. Let me read the sentence again. They did not like this first sentence. The 13th Amendment officially abolished slavery in 1865. Yet, involuntary servitude persists 152 years later due to a loophole that shifted the practice to U.S. prisons. And so the person who commented did rightly ascertain from the structure of these two sentences that it is kind of not correct. It's not correct. The 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery. Okay, it did not. And so, but the ad overall does support that the 13th Amendment is well, let me put it this way. What we call slavery, they call an involuntary servitude. Involuntary servitude means forced labor. What is slavery? Forced labor. So we're splitting hairs there. But so I don't want to get bogged down in arguments over semantics and things of that nature. It is important, though, that we point out that distinction. So I don't want it to sound like I'm making it seem like that person was nitpicking. No, they observed, made a correct observation that it was not officially abolished. It was officially transformed into prison slavery. Slavery by Another Name is a documentary and book that was written, I forget how long that's been out, maybe 15, 20 years. But I go on, let me go ahead and read the rest of this. This ad marks yet the biggest mainstream exposure to date for the new abolitionist movement outside of the documentary itself. Netflix should be commended for paying for an abolitionist article in the New York Times, because that's basically what it is, a full-page ad, full-page article. Now, this full-page ad, unlike Donald Trump's full-page ad he paid for in the New York Times, which was really an opinion piece calling for the death penalty for those the media dubbed the Central Park Five, the Netflix advertisement about prison slavery is based in facts and constitutional law. So I'll link to this again. The address, it says paypost.newyorktimes.com/netflix-13/plantation-2-prison.html. But I've linked to it for you for those. You can just check out BTR News entry on blacktalkradionetwork.com for today. I'm going to warn you because it looks like it is kind of messing with my system. It seems to be one big image, and it does kind of present a drag on your browser. So let me see if I can navigate. I'll share as much as I can, but I don't want my desktop to lock up. All right, so I already shared that first part with you. Maybe I should have pulled this up on the other computer, which is like 3 yards away from me. Let me get through some of this. Okay. Smoke was, let me see, the 13th. Oh, man. Poor New York Times. This was a poor advertisement. The 13th Amendment officially abolished slavery in 1865, yet involuntary servitude persists 152 years later due to a loophole that shifted the practice to U.S. prisons. So again, I'm not going to get into arguments about semantics. Involuntary servitude and slavery is the same thing in my book. All right. Maybe if I'm going to make a distinction, I'm going to say involuntary servitude is where they getting slave wages. They getting compensated. And slavery, you're not getting compensated at all. So I'll split hairs like that. Let me see. Smoke was everywhere as we got closer. The flames got bigger and bigger. It scared me to death, says Bilal Chapman, as he recalled fighting his first fire. The team worked for 12 hours straight in 125-degree heat against a Southern California blaze, and after the shift was over, he slept on the open ground. But Chapman wasn't a firefighter by trade. He was a prisoner of the state of California. For his work that night, Chapman received 45 cents an hour after paying the state restitution. By comparison, the average, and I'm trying to scroll down here, it's sort of like they tried to embed a PDF file in a web browser or in a web page, HTML page, and it's not working. let me tell you. But they go on to, just from my memory, and I'm not even going, I don't need to read on, because I've already read it, but I think they mentioned that firefighters actually make something like $40,000 to $60,000 a year. And we reported on New Abolitionist Radio when the state of California, which was led by, I don't know if she's running for the Senate or if she actually won a Senate office, Kamala Harris, the black woman, black Democrat. in her office at the time as U.S. Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General argued in the Supreme Court, or her office did. Of course, she passed the buck down to her, those working for her or under her direction, and they were arguing in the Supreme Court when the Supreme Court lawsuits were filed to address overcrowding in California prisons as inhumane. And actually, the court sided with the plaintiffs and said, you have to do something to ease these overcrowding conditions. And so the state of California, under the office of Attorney General at the time, Kamala Harris, Black Democrat again, and she argued that we can't let these people go. If we let them go, we will deplete California of a very important cheap labor pool. Now, I'm paraphrasing a bit there, but I'm not going too far off. I'm almost, they use that sort of language, would deplete them of a labor pool, a huge labor pool. Again, they wouldn't give Bilal a firefighter job before he went to prison. But while he's in prison, oh yeah, we'll give you a firefighter job and pay you slave wages, of which we're going to make you pay for your own enslavement. We gonna even take that from you and risk your life out here with these people. They got insurance and $50,000 to $60,000 a year. It's crazy, man. Why I would advise people in that situation, don't fight fires. Seems like we got a caller who wants to chime in. Let me pull up my board. We have a caller from the area code 719. Thank you for calling BTR News. Go ahead with your name and your question or comment.
Hey, what's up, Scott? It's Ramon, man.
What's going on, Ramon? Good to hear from you.
You too, sir. I keep listening. I just don't chime in all the time. Y'all give too much, so I got to study it. But the thing about the deportation and the immigration stuff, here's where I find my own a little bit of conflict here in my belief system and what we talk about is when I was working as an independent contractor. We did some work here in Colorado Springs for Peterson Air Force Base for their new PX building, and before they put up their security gate, it was free for all. Okay. And on that site, you know, let's just say you had American-born versus foreign-born. If you were to do the numbers, you'd say, okay, it's about a 50-50. The minute we hit a certain phase of this job, they decided they're going to put up their clearance gate here at Peterson Air Force Base. That day or the evening, they decided they were going to do that. They said to everyone, the superintendent, who was a federal contractor at the time, said to us, come in on the East Gate, have all your credentials. And they checked all our credentials that day before we could even come back out the next morning. Some of them guys, believe it or not, foreign born, were here under names like, let's just say, George Washington. And that's not even exaggerating. For them to get hired and be out on that federal base, that contractor knew that. So my beef is first with the people that have the authority and power to hire these folks. And yes, second, like you, I agree. Why should somebody come into my home and benefit off what I've done first before myself? So what do you say to the federal government that at the highest level, military, allows that right? They hire them.
I'm saying that they practice in deception, that they use prison slave labor. They use prison slave labor. They use so-called immigrant labor, illegal immigrant labor, and pay these people slave wages. Now, So that's how I feel about it. I mean, I am, again, sympathetic to the breaking up of families and stuff like that. I am sympathetic to the destabilization that this government and corporations have done to their home countries, especially Mexico, with them putting all them guns into cartel hands and whatnot, and then causing all that violence where tens of thousands of people are being murdered to the point that mothers fearing for their children's lives are sending them to America unaccompanied. They don't know what could happen to them children. So I'm sympathetic all around, but at the same time, though, if you don't like what's going on in your home country, you need to stay home and fight to change, just like people who live here need to fight to change. That's how I feel.
So, Scotty, let me ask you a question then. And I agree with that. Like I said, I'm kind of split. It's about a, 80-20 split, truthfully, but in favor of a lot of what you said. But here's what I would ask. Listening to Dave's last show that he had about, with the gold standards probably coming back on board here, if, as he put it, if Mexico is going to be probably a part of that most prosperous type of country, I mean, I listen to you a lot, and you say a lot of things that I agree with. I'm like, now, from a militant point of view, this is right on point. I mean, wouldn't we get in there and try to finagle some of that relationship so we could benefit 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now?
I understand. The scenario you just painted, though, what Dave was talking about, if they join in with China and some of these other nations that are talking about going to a gold standard, these immigrants will self-deport, because it might start looking like Venezuela here in Mexico. Exactly. They'll be prospering because they on the gold standard, so they may self-deport.
And some of us may want to export.
Which is against the law in their constitution.
Hey, Scotty, I'm still tuned in, brother, and I'm always studying and learning from you. Keep it going, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your questions. Let me see. We got about 5 minutes to the top of the hour. If you have any questions or comments, hit us up at 866-510-9025 or 704-802-5056. Hit star star. Just make a little noise, say Scotty or something, and if I'm talking, I'll hear you. If I'm reading, I'll hear you. I'll come to you. We got about 4 minutes before the break. So, but getting back to this story about the Oscar-nominated documentary 13th, which was directed by Ava DuVernay, a lot of people may not know, but Netflix reached out to her. She didn't take a project. She didn't come up with a project on her own and go to Netflix and say, hey, would y'all back my film on called 13th, this documentary that I'm going to make about the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that provides a loophole for modern-day slavery and human trafficking? No. Netflix went to her and set out and asked her, said, this is your budget. If you want this money, come produce this film about this issue, the 13th Amendment and whether legalized slavery exists or not. That's how that went down. That's basically unheard of coming from these mainstream media corporations. And now they're paying for a full page ad. Again, I do acknowledge the concerns in that first sentence where whoever wrote it seemed to still not able to let go of that programming that slavery was abolished in 1865. And now they're calling it is involuntary servitude, which was also supposed to be abolished. But again, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You're splitting hairs. But the rest of it, which I had a chance to read, I can't read it much more to you now. And I mean, it's a big ad too. Meaning on the internet, it's a number of pages, so check that out. And I appreciate that. That's unprecedented. I mean, not unprecedented, but when is the last time that an abolitionist article, and we can call this an article, appeared in a major mass media publication? Probably not since prior to 1865, and then those papers were put out by abolitionists like Frederick Douglass and many, many others. Sounds like we got somebody else wants to chime in. Area code 423. I tell you what, Hang on. I'm going to take a station identification break so we don't have to interrupt you, and we'll come right back to you. So, but in wrapping up what I'm saying about this particular story, because I do got about three other stories, wrapping up this particular story, I appreciate Netflix. And I have another related story we'll share after the caller about these white people faking offense at this movie called Dear White People that Netflix has put out. It's a comedy, and these white people are claiming that they're so offended, and they're calling on people to end their Netflix memberships. Now, remember when the 13 came out, I was telling people, go ahead and get your $10 a month Netflix subscription, even if you only keep it for the month, so you could watch the 13th. We got to support these type of films when they do come out. We ask for this type of subject matter to come out from these platforms, and when they put one out, we have to support it. So these people, these suspected racists who classify and identify themselves as white, are faking outrage and saying that this film is racist, called this comedy. This is a comedy now with white actors in it, but primarily a non-white cast, appears to be written by, but you never know. You never know who wrote the script. I haven't looked that up. But most of the actors are black or non-white, and it's coming from a non-white, specifically black perspective, this comedy. Let's call it a situational comedy. So I again want to say to you, go ahead and support Netflix. They paying for ads, full page ads in the New York Times, pointing them out to people what's going on. Legally, human trafficking is going on. Involuntary servitude is going on. So let them racist suspects cancel their subscriptions. Y'all go ahead and get a subscription, even if it's just for a month. All right, we have to counter what they do, especially in these propaganda wars. So shout out to Netflix, and we'll get to that story after we take our caller on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc., which was incorporated in 1871. We'll be back on the other side.
Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio.
7654321.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting from our home at blacktalkradionetwork.com, streaming to all parts known and both unknown. Remember, let me just go over right quick some of the other stories that we'll share with you in this second hour. Then we will go to the phones to our caller from 423 area code. But here is some other stories. Again, I mentioned that the online streaming media company Netflix is taking heat from white people who are complaining that a soon-to-be-released film on their platform is racist towards white people. Never mind the fake claims of racism are being promoted by the usual white nationalist websites and conservative media that tries to codify itself in patriotism. The buzz being created is manufactured to silence black media or media from a black perspective, and people will identify as white are faking offense over a 2-minute trailer. We'll take a listen to that trailer again when we come back from the caller. The Real News Network, an independent outlet based in Baltimore, published an interview with Israeli activist David Sheen, who is an Israeli citizen. I also think he's a citizen of Canada, but he resides in Israel. Part of that interview focused on the rape culture and the rape culture that exists in Israel and the Palestinian lands. They are still practicing racism against African immigrants and Africans classified as Jews. That would be your Ethiopians who have Israeli citizenship. Let me see. Earlier this week, BTR News put out a podcast with Paul Porter of Rap Rehab and Industry Ears concerning a white conservative AM talker using the word nigger on the FCC licensed broadcast. No, this was not unregulated internet radio or a podcast. This was a terrestrial radio station out of St. Louis, KQQZ. So we did that report with him earlier in the week. That's why you need to get your subscription to blacktalkradionetwork.com so you don't miss those podcasts when they're published. But in case there was any doubt that the station intentionally allowed this obscene language to go over FCC licensed airways, Mr. Porter called the show after we did the interview with him. He called the live show, whereas the word nigger was used several times by Mr. Bob Romanek. So in case there was any doubt that this was, oh, they just let this slip, this was a mistake, and the technicians just didn't catch it, or no, this was intentional. Because the very next day or the day after, Mr. Porter calls in and has that conversation with them, and we'll let you listen to that audio courtesy of Industry Ears and Rap Rehab. Again, those are media properties put out or managed by Paul Porter. Also runs a low-power FM station down there in the Orlando, Florida area. I forget their call letters, but I will start remembering. I think they're on 88 FM channel, something. I can't remember. But going back, let's go to the caller. Oh, man, looks like the caller had to hang up. I thought we had a caller from area code 423. Give us a call back. Maybe they got in an area where they couldn't be on the phone. Who knows? But yeah, just give us a call at 866-510-9025. Hit star to unmute yourself. Okay, so where did I leave off? Yeah, the Netflix ad. No, not the Netflix ad. The Netflix comedy that will be coming out. The name of this comedy is Dear White People. And you have your usual suspects like Alex Jones, Prison Planet, of course, Breitbart, just any of these right-wing side. I know the Daily Caller probably joining in on the fun. The Daily Caller, Breitbart, Prison Planet. I know InfoWars involved, if Prison Planet's involved. All your right-wing media, whether it be conservative or straight up white nationalist websites, you know, white nationalists, and even though they may belong to groups that have traditionally practiced terrorism for hundreds of years, or at least since the 1800s, you know, they aren't viewed as terrorists. They're not on no list. They're allowed to register as nonprofits and get bank accounts and stuff like that, but they're talking about it too, and they're pushing this fake news story and over this 2-minute trailer. Really, it's over the 2-minute trailer because they haven't seen the movie, because the movie hasn't been released. So they playing the victim card here. All the things that they always used to in years past, say, oh, black people just complain and they whining, they playing the race card. Well, they the masters, they playing the race card. They invented the freaking race card, okay? Now, let's keep it historically correct, all right? Anybody talking about a race card and using it, man, these people invented it. But it had been recent tactic of theirs to minimize any kind of stories or complaints about racism in the United States or worldwide, for them to then just simply reduce the victim to a whiner who's making up stuff. So here we have a story of them now employing those same tactics and really are whining about nothing, always trying to play the victim. White people are being victimized, but not in the ways that these people are talking about. And that's a subject matter for a later show. But let's go ahead and give a listen to this 2-minute trailer that has all of these racist suspects and their propaganda outlets with their panties in a bunch and whining and crying and telling people, oh, you need to suspend your Netflix. They pushing racist media. They're being racist towards white people. Now, again, this is the trailer. It's 2 minutes and 45 seconds long, 46 seconds long. Let me pause it for a second while it loads and get the audio on it right. And so you're going to get to listen to it. Now, they got a number of trailers, but this is the longest one. It's on YouTube. It was published by Movie Clips Coming Soon. Dear White People, trailer number one, 2014-Comedy HD. This was published. Wait a minute. Hold up. Now, this was published 2 years ago. All right. So maybe this Dear White People didn't get picked up. Because this is the trailer that they linked to on other sites. And maybe Netflix is just going to pick it up or bought the licenses to it and is going to distribute it. So it looks like this comedy, Dear White People, is actually 2 years old. And I'm sure these racist suspects was whining and crying and playing the race card back then too. But let's go ahead and give a listen to it.
You're listening to Winchester University's only college radio station.
Dear White People, the minimum requirement of black friends needed to not seem racist has just been raised to 2. Sorry, but your weed man, Tyrone, does not count.
Dear white people, please stop touching my hair. Does this look like a petting zoo to you?
This just in, dating a black person to piss off your parents is a form of racism.
The show is racist.
Black people can't be racist. Racism describes a system of disadvantage based on race.
But I don't see what the point is in blaming white folks for everything.
I really don't see the issue. Never ran into any lynch mob.
It'd be good to elect someone like you as school president.
Someone else is running.
Together, we can bring black back to Winchester.
Who does Sam think she is?
It's like Spike Lee and Oprah had some sort of pissed off baby.
I hope you make it all right.
How do I feel about Dear White People? It's blacker than thou propaganda from a bougie Lisa Bonet wannabe.
Black people scare you?
I listen to Mumford & Sons and watch Robert Altman movies. Think I'm black enough for the union?
Lionel, please. You're only technically black.
Sometimes I think the hardest thing to be in the American workforce is an educated white guy.
They pay millions of dollars on their lips, their tans, Jay-Z tickets, because they want to be like us.
Let's make it do what it do!
You want to know why they used to call me Black Mitch?
Absolutely.
Nobody called you that.
You've got no idea what they see when they see you.
You've got a thing for Taylor Swift. I know, because my Mac picks up your Mac's library.
We're so careful. You don't understand. Girls like me
have to pick a side? I'm sick of your tragic mulatto bull.
You can't say mulatto.
Mulatto, mulatto, mulatto!
Did somebody say mulatto?
How would you feel if someone started a Dear Black People?
No need.
Mass media from Fox News makes it clear what white people think of us.
Your hair.
so cute. Is it weaved?
Weaved. It's weave. Noun. Present tense.
Racism is over in America. The only people who are thinking about it are Mexicans, probably.
Now, just based off of this trailer, again, 2-year-old trailer, that it seems that this film, which won awards at the Indie Film Festival, based off of this trailer, has been picked up by Netflix for distribution. And these racist, I tell you, these racist suspects is losing their mind. I heard all kind of different storylines represented. I hear you, caller. Let me come to you as soon as I finish this. I heard all kind of different storylines represented there. And I have concerns about the viewpoints, some of the viewpoints I heard there. But it was a diversity of views, so I'm not going to sit up here. I can't make a judgment based off of the 2.5 clip to say that, you know what, this is some codified racist programming trying to masquerade itself as counter-racist programming. I can't make that judgment call, but you know what? Neither can these racist suspects based off this 2.5-minute clip. Caller, I heard you at 478. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. Give us your name. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, this is Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call. That movie did come out 2 years ago. It came out in the theaters. I saw that movie. It was supposed to be funny, but I think that was the last movie I saw because I went to school with, I was teaching white people and being around people. I was like, I can't watch this movies like this because I just get angry at white people. Yeah, it's this big to-do where they mock black people and kind of on a college campus, detentions and all of that. And then at the end, they show, like, incidents of stuff that happened at real schools that I didn't know about. I went with somebody. She was like, yeah, I heard about this. I heard about that. So, yeah, that's a real movie. It already happened. It already came out. I paid money to see that. And, I mean, it was a good movie overall to really see how evil white people are, whatever, something like that. But, no. I mean, it already came out. You can't protest something.
So, maybe that's what they're basing it on, is since it already came out.
Image awards and everything. It done came out. It done came and left. And that was just on Netflix. Big deal.
Yeah. So
it came out, I think, in 2014 to 2015. Like you said, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what the trailer is dated. I did not see the movie. I will check it out on Netflix, as I have had a Netflix subscription since they came out with the documentary 13. Got to do what I ask others to do. But thank you for sharing that. But it seems like I remember 2 years ago. Give me just a second. Seems like 2 years ago I had heard about that, this particular film. But again, yeah. They're making a big deal out of something that's 2 years old and saying it's racist. Or I wouldn't say it's racist towards white people. I think that what they're mad about, or they're being immature about, or they're just practicing racism, is they don't like films that show them possibly in a bad light. So,
and like I said, the movie replicated stuff that happened in real life, because at the end they have clips of this happened. I think one was at San Diego State, where they had a party in blackface, because that's what they do in the movie, and all this. They just replicate, whoever made this movie, they're replicating articles that happen in real life.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, thank you for chiming in with that. We got about 3 more calls. Anytime during the broadcast you want to jump back in, hit star. I want to go to the next person that came up on queue was 816. 816. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Reed, tonight, listeners? I'm looking at it, at that movie. What it is they're going to do a whole series around it now.
Oh, okay. So that's the distinction. I wasn't sure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I was just saying thanks for making that distinction, because I wasn't sure if it was a series or a movie. So that's what they're whining about. It's going to be turned into a Netflix series.
Yeah, it's going to be a series. And so it's going to be, you know, I thought it was kind of weird too myself. I'm like, this is a 2-year-old movie. They released it. You're right. It got critically acclaimed. And, you know, pretty much, you know, if they had something to say, they would say it then. And it might have been, I think it ruffled some people's feathers, and there were some people who said something about it. But, you know, right now, Mr. Reed, and the whole surrounding this country and everything like that, the climate of everything, it's probably heightened some people, I'm sure. And I'm sure some people have felt emboldened with, you know, we see news headlines every week of some teacher or some official that is clearly spouting something that is some racist white supremacist rhetoric. And so people just feel emboldened, and so they feel like they want to cancel their subscription, which, I mean, that's their prerogative.
Right.
And they're only hurting themselves. It's got a whole lot of programming on that. And so, I want to look at it more. I'm not sure if Ava DuVernay had something to do with this film as well, the original. I'm not sure if she did or not. But, that's all my comments.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing those comments and making that distinction, because I was starting to wonder, why would they be complaining about something that's been out already 2 years? So Netflix is investing money in a series of this nature. 423, we want to go to 423. You dropped off earlier. I want to give you an opportunity. Then we have 719. So everybody, try to watch our background noise to preserve the quality of the broadcast if you're able. But 423, go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, I was just making the same distinction that the brother was just before me. It's a movie, and then that it's a series. But I also wanted to comment on, as far as the, I had gave this to Dave on Tando, as far as the three executive orders that Trump had done, came up with, mm-hmm. as far as the war on drugs. Because we know, not maybe a week, maybe a week and a half ago, he was talking about how they need to come together and treat everybody who's using this heroin in the suburbs as though that they was prisoners, you know, like what are they doing? But yet and still he comes out with this new war on drugs type of executive order, and we all know what the war on drugs is. Excuse my background noise. I was moving throughout a hospital, so I'm sorry about that. That was me. But he got all of this stuff going on. And what does that mean to us? Because a lot of us are coming together and saying that, well, he's doing the same thing that every other CEO of the United States has done, but he's going a little further. Nobody's paying attention to that. You know, he's combining the drug war with the gang association. You know, he's adding the bikers and all of them into it very, very silently, but yet he's putting our names in bold letters. He hasn't mentioned nothing about us except for talking to some of these so-called black leaders throughout the time that he's been in office already. But then he names us specifically with these orders, and nobody's paying attention to it. And I was just wondering, what was your thoughts on that particular incident?
Well, I did not have an opportunity to read that article in depth. It was shared, and I think I shared the headline. But my thoughts on it is, if you knew Jeff Sessions and his record in terms of being a so-called drug war warrior, and his full support of that, he does not support any kind of reformation or reform legislation. He doesn't think that you should get rid of three strikes and you're a slave for life. He doesn't think you should lessen the penalties if you get caught with a quote-unquote illegal substance. In terms of with these white people mostly being the ones that's engaged in this heroin trafficking and the victims in terms of overdoses, the local police, like in Gaston County where I live, or rural areas, they are not going to carry out the same kind of strategies and tactics against white people in the rural areas as they've been doing in urban cities. So I expect it to increase in urban areas, and them to keep treating these drug addicts, and I don't mean that in a derogatory term, but let's just say these people with addiction problems who are white, with kid gloves, and give them diversionary programs and what have you. So that's what I see. But I need to read that article, and I'll do a future, you know, podcast or broadcast on that when I have time to really research what he's talking about. But I did see it.
Well, see, that's exactly what I'm talking about, though, Scott. If for you not even to read the article and still understand what the war on drugs, just that term alone, mm-hmm. lets you know who they're talking about and who they are going after. Right. And it's a lot of us that, until you just mentioned it tonight, don't even know that happened. Mm-hmm. You know? So, you keep on doing what you're doing. Myself on mute.
All right. Yeah, that's something to definitely keep an eye on. Again, private prison stocks did not boom after the election of Donald Trump for no reason. Okay, and with the people they've been appointing to these cabinet positions, especially Jeff Sessions. So let's go to area code 719, who's been hanging on patiently. Go if you want to share your name and your question and comment.
Hey, Scott, it's Ramon again.
All right.
Hey, I got a quick observation off what the young lady said earlier about the dear white people being shown a couple of years ago. I didn't see it, but I do remember the advertising trailer. And here's what I kind of think, Scotty. Just listening to the way we all been thinking about this. If they're turning it to a series, and now you said we should keep our subscription, so I guess that's our counter. And I thought to myself, could this be their strategy, implementing a series to get more money from us? Could that be the plan, Scotty?
Well, if they're running a business, if they are running a business and they want to attract black dollars, then yes, it's part of a plan to produce black content.
Do we want to support it? Is it a counter to get us to do what we really don't want to do?
Well, again, I first said get your subscription when they came out with the 13. They fronted that. That was their idea. Okay, I want to see more of that. I don't watch a whole lot of entertainment or whatnot, but I did watch Luke Cage, that series, all right, which I think is written and directed by black people and whatnot. So I am reserving opinion on this dear white people. But if we want content like that to come out, then we got to support it. Because, we know what we're going to get from Tyler Perry. We know what we're going to get from Oprah Winfrey. So if it's employing black people, if it's giving black directors and writers opportunity to produce propaganda and distribute it through a major platform like that, yes. $10, you know, media research. So those are my thoughts on that. We for how many years have we said we want to see more films about this particular subject matter or from this particular our point of view? And then when we get those films, you know, are we going to support them?
So it is beneficial, is what you're saying.
Well, again, I don't want to make that determination. The individual has to make that determination for themselves. My specific reason for getting a subscription, because again, I don't watch a lot of entertainment. When I'm about to go to bed, I'll put a movie on and I'll fall asleep on it. But I got a Netflix subscription specifically because they put that film out, the 13th, which is a very important abolitionist film. And so just on that alone, to give them a sign to say, hey, this type of content, you can make money off of while educating people or whatnot. This is good content for you to invest your money and resources into. Because we didn't pay for it. Black people didn't pay for this. They gave this money to Ava DuVernay and said, go make a film. And that was it. They ain't try to control her or nothing. I want to encourage that kind of behavior, because as I've been, I stated on my video today, and I stated on a past video about independent black media platforms not getting support in terms of black dollars. So how can we produce these sort of things when we're not being supported? And so, you know, Netflix got that kind of money. I want to see them continue on this path of that content. So, yeah, I give them $10 a month. But, again, I chalk that up to media research.
Thanks, Scotty. Appreciate the show, bro. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So, I mean, it's something that a person has to determine for themselves. They may feel differently about that, and that's not to say they're wrong to feel that way. You know, that's their perception. That's how they're looking at it a different way. And so it's not like a matter of right or wrong. It depends on that individual and their reason for supporting something or not supporting something. Okay. Let me see. Next story we could jump to. I want to play this a portion of this interview from the Real News Network as we shift gears to international news before I close out and bring it back home. But the Real News Network, an independent outlet based in Baltimore, published an interview with activist David Sheen. He is a white male married to a black female. He does classify himself as a Jew. Unlike some people have put out there, I do not see Jews as a separate racial classification or ethnic classification. That is a religious classification. All you got to do is look at how the white Jews in Israel are mistreating the black Jews or the African descended Jews. And this is sort of what this story is about. So, I've seen some well-respected black intellectuals put that information out there, and it's false, you know, and they cited as their sources Adolf Hitler. Well, this man came up with the theory called the big lie, so don't be so quick to believe anything he said about who Jews are. Okay? He went to school to become a painter or artist or a sketch artist. He didn't go to school to be no anthropologist or anything like that. All right? So, but anyway, David Sheen did this interview with Real News Network. It's been a couple of years since I interviewed him about the racism being practiced against melanated people by the nation of Israel. But David Sheen was on there talking about the headline was pretty inflammatory. It's about an 18-20 minute interview. I'm not going to share that entire interview, maybe 5 minutes of it, and share it with you. But the headline talks about they're lynching black folks over there just like Emmett Till. Like and I have heard David Sheen, when I interviewed him years ago, he described it as Jim Crow, but he used the Hebrew name for Jim. I forgot what he said. But he said it's like if you want to imagine what it's like to live in Israel as a black person, go watch, now he didn't say this, but I'm telling you, go watch The Help. He said it's like the 1950s in America and how black people were being treated. Go watch The Help. Yeah, go watch those type of movies. That's how it is for black people in Israel. So we'll take a listen to that. But Donald Trump flip-flop on his statement about moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, which is a disputed city that not only Muslims and Christians and Jews all lay some sort of historic claim to this city, but also the Palestinians as a nation, as an occupied nation, claim that capital. So, you know, that's just like provoking people, provoking Palestinians, provoking Muslims for the United States to move their embassy from the capital of Israel, which is in Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem. So he's flip-flopped on that, but we'll share that story. And again, last but not least, I'm gonna let y'all listen to the podcast I did earlier for those that missed it. It's not very long, but Paul Porter of Rap Rehab and Industry Ears concerning this white conservative AM talker on the terrestrial dial up there in St. Louis using the word nigger on FCC licensed airwaves. And nothing has happened to him. But, of course, it also depends on how many people are filing complaints about that, whether or not the FCC are getting involved and levy any fines or anything like that. So I, you know, I'm following Mr. Porter's lead. But he called him. He called him the next day. And this dude just did not get that you can't say nigger on terrestrial airways. All right, you can't use obscene language, but in his mind, it isn't an obscene word. So Mr. Porter was trying to explain to this man, and he just didn't seem to get it. But it also answers some questions on whether or not this AM station has a 5-second delay to where they are not allowing callers to make obscene statements. So you got to hear this. You got to hear this. I would have thought it would have went viral, but it has not. I've shared it. Again, it comes from raprehab.com. He shares it. It has not. They haven't picked it up yet. It hasn't been picked up nationally. So let me go ahead and take the last break. Before we take that break, do want to remind you about the social media community, BTR community, at btrcommunity.com, a new online black social experience. Have subscriptions for $24 a year. You won't be hit with any kind of ads, data mining, or anything, because, I mean, we're not showing ads. Why do we need the data mine? So that's where your $24 goes to supporting an ad-free network. And also help fund independent black media, donate, and be a media partner of the Black Talk Media Project. You can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org. There is a green banner that says donate and be our partner. Click on that. But we also, you can send a check or money order to Black Talk Media Project at P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina 28120. So those are the two stories we'll touch upon on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. So I want to roll into this interview. The Real News, you can find them online at therealnews.com. It is a independent nonprofit media outlet. I really like what they do in terms especially of production. But of course, they touch the news and analyze it in a way you're not going to get from the mainstream. So this is one of my new favorite news sources. But The Real News produced a report. The title is How False Allegations of Rape Are Used to Lynch African Refugees and Palestinians. It's a two-part interview. This part is 14 minutes long. We don't want to share of the entire piece with you, but just give you a little bit of taste, a little preview. We hope that you will use those links and go watch it, and also donate. Again, you have to support independent media if you want it to stick around. And again, please check out the video cast that I did earlier today, which is on our Black Talk Radio YouTube channel. You can also see it on the Facebook page. How false allegations of rape are used to lynch African refugees and Palestinians. This is the Real News with this report with David Sheen, a journalist and Israeli activist. Let's go ahead and cue that up.
Welcome to the Real News Network in Baltimore. I'm Kim Brown. Is rape used as a political tool in Israel to demonize and dehumanize Arabs and Palestinians? Last June, the Israeli public was shocked to hear of a girl with a mental disability who was reportedly raped by a Palestinian as an act of nationalistic violence. The girl has eventually confessed that her family pressured her to invent the rape in order to have a Palestinian boy arrested. In December, the Israeli Committee for Women's Rights held a debate on sexual offenses in joint Jewish-Arab communities. Now, the debate quickly deteriorated into incitement against Arabs. In a recent piece in Electronic Intifada, David Sheen reported that among the political parties who organized the debate is the Shaz Party, which is described as a very religious Jewish political party there. A senior member of the party, Amnon Cohen, has been arrested and was recently accused of receiving bribery in the form of sexual favors. A woman testified that she was afraid for her life if she refused to have sex with the former member of the Israeli parliament. And today we're joined with the author of the article, David Sheen. David is an independent journalist and a filmmaker, originally from Toronto, now living and reporting from the ground in Dimona, Israel. David has written for numerous publications, and he regularly speaks on U.S. college campuses and in European parliaments about his work, which focuses on racial tensions and religious extremism in Israeli society. And David's joining us today from Israel. David, welcome to The Real News.
Thank you for having me.
So, David, if you could describe for us, what is the culture of rape in general, and what does it mean in Israel?
Well, rape culture is a problem everywhere in the world that I know of, the places that I've lived and visited, where patriarchy, misogyny, where men control society and view women and their bodies as fair game, as essentially an extension of their own property. And this permeates culture. And it's a problem in North America, and it's a problem here in Israel. Now, unfortunately, what we see is that in Israel, instead of the government saying this is a major problem, we need to work at reducing the amount of misogyny and the amount of rape culture and incidences of sexual harassment and sex crimes. Instead, what we have is top members of the government committing these crimes, top members of law enforcement, top members of the judiciary, top members of regional councils, and people in society like university deans and the head of the largest bank in Israel, the president of Israel, on rape charges. So we see that throughout the top levels of society, there's serious, serious, serious sex crimes, and that sends a message to the rest of society. Well, you know, this is a normal way to act, and sadly, the only time it ever gets mentioned by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is if he thinks he can somehow blame rape on non-Jewish, non-white, non-Jewish people, specifically Palestinians and African refugees and other non-Jewish folk in the country.
So, given the fact that, as you said, rape is prevalent throughout the globe and doesn't necessarily tend to be exclusive to one particular society or the other, but the issue with rape is that it is often underreported. So, to your knowledge, what kind of data exists about the prevalence of sexual violence motivated by nationalism?
Well, this was the topic of the discussion in the Knesset in December, and essentially members of the Knesset were stating, we have proof. In fact, there's a plague of Palestinian citizens of Israel, Arab men, who sexually harass and sexually assault women. Police representative of the Israeli police force, which by no means are suspect of being pro-Arab, but they were no evidence of this. You know, we talked to all our local police forces, and they reported back to us that they see no incidents. In fact, the level of sexual assaults in those mixed cities where you have both Jewish and Palestinian populations, the amount of sex assaults there is actually going down. That includes sex assaults in general and sex assaults committed by non-Jews. That was the police statement. And as I wrote in the article, the same thing happened 5 years ago, the last time that the right wing tried once again to convene a Knesset session to blame non-Jews. Police said, no, I'm sorry, we don't have any evidence of some kind of, you know, concerted attack by Palestinian people specifically trying to attack Jewish women as a way to get revenge or to, you know, harm Jewish people, in the weakest link, you know, women who are easy prey for sexual evidence of any of this. It's in the minds of racist lawmakers, and I don't mind also saying there are many groups in society who their ostensive reason to exist is to prevent Jews and non-Jews from being in romantic relationships. I know, you know, you had the film called Loving that came out in the United States just a few months ago about the Supreme Court Loving versus Virginia, how a white man and a black woman were not allowed to wed just a few decades ago in the United States. There had to be a Supreme Court decision to overrule that. It should be pointed out that in Israel, there, till this day in 2017, there's no way for Jewish people and non-Jewish people to marry in the country.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. A number of things came up in that clip, and I may have to go a little over 2 hours. I'm trying not to overlap with a popular program on our network on an independent station, the Cows, the compensatory call-in. They come on at 9 o'clock, so I'm trying not to cut into their audience, so I'm trying to wrap it up here shortly, but a number of things there. This is, again, more proof that these are white people practicing white supremacy. And at the end there, what he was talking about was the fear of genetic annihilation that especially white males have of non-white genes, which are dominant over white genes. That's just a fact. Public Enemy taught me that in their album Fear of a Black Planet back in the 1990s when I was yet a young, much younger man. So number of things here. You're not seeing this being reported on CNN, MSNBC, ABC. They're not talking about it. And so the same plan, the strategies that white supremacists in the United States use, white supremacists in Israel use those same things, those same tactics and what have you. And then the whole promotion of, oh, rape, this particular community is involved in a lot of rapes. Again, do y'all not see the correlations between the United States and Israel and their society and politics? Okay? All right, so that is why this whole notion that Americans identify with Israel because saying, quote-unquote, they're the lone democracy in that region of North Africa, stop calling it the Middle East, so we see that here in the United States. I mean, Jerry, I think that was Jerry who called us earlier and asked me if I saw those executive orders that the Trump administration issued talking about the war on drugs and stricter law enforcement and violent crime is going up. We hear the same thing here, always from the right wing. They always push the fake news about violent crime is out of hand, so we need to bring the hammer down and put more people into slavery. Same thing going on in Israel. Stop thinking that these are non-white people. It is not supported by science. Their own genetic research, if they take a DNA test, is going to, those white Jews in Israel will take them to either the Caucasoid Mountains, parts of Germany, or other parts of Europe. Again, these are Caucasians. Jew means that's a religious designation. If I practice Judaism like Sammy Davis Jr., a black man here in the United States, I think he's dead now. Yeah, he is dead now, but he is a Jew. Well, so how can it be a racial classification if black people can be Jews, which you have a pretty sizable Jewish black Ethiopian population in Israel, but that's before they ran that sterilization program on them and cut their population in half in under 10 years. So again, I don't know why people allow the mainstream media to dictate these classifications or say this is who these people are. when the logic says something different, and their behavior and their actions speak louder than any kind of word you could use to describe them to me. So that's what's going on in Israel. Another bit of related news: Trump flip-flops on his statement to move Israeli embassy, well, really it's the U.S. embassy, from Tel Aviv, the capital city in Israel, and move it to Jerusalem, which I'm telling you would, oh man, that would really escalate resistance to white supremacy in that part of the world on a number of levels, religious levels as well. It's just not a good thing to involve the United States in that. Let me see, but now he's flip-flopped on that. And one quick note, I made this mental note. All this notion about the Trump administration and Steve Bannon and them being anti-Semites, which again is another improperly used word called Semitic. Semite refers to Semitic. Semitic refers to a group of languages in northern Africa that was spoken in ancient times. Well, they still speak it, but it's a family of languages that originated in that region of, I think it's Northwest Africa. So when you say somebody's an anti-Semite, what you're really saying is they don't like people who speak Semitic languages or belong to a classification of people that speak Semitic languages. So again, we have to look up words, we have to analyze words, and we have to realize when words are being used improperly or terms are being used improperly to push some ulterior agenda. So, but let me close out this story. I think we got a caller, but Trump is not inclined to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, according to Israeli media reports, despite making several assertions on the topic during his campaign. According to various Israeli media citing Palestinian media, Palestinian Authority leaders have received a reassuring message from the Trump administration. The reports also say U.S. security officials spoke directly to Palestinian intelligence head Majid Farrash. While these reports are yet to be confirmed, Trump had already been presenting a more moderate position, notably during an interview for the Israeli newspaper Israel Hayom. All right, so I'll leave it there. I did link to this article in Sputnik News, sputniknews.com, if you want to check that out. Let me check the phone line before I go into this last story. 423, you have a question or comment? I think that's Jerry.
Yes, Scotty, this is me again. The last statement you just made, man, it made so much sense, at least to me.
Which statement?
That's exactly what I was talking. Say again, brother.
What statement? Which one?
The statement about Trump making the war on drugs. He reinitiating, rather, the war on drugs, and then how these supposedly Jews are treating other Jews or non-Jews based on a classification.
Mm-hmm.
We have that same thing, like you said, it's going on right now. And with that being said, why are we not paying attention? And when I say we, I mean us as a people, together, no matter what religion or anything that we are basing ourselves off of, why are we not paying attention to the laws that's being passed? And that's one of the bigger issues that we have that a lot of us don't even know that we carry. That's a lot of weight for us to carry without even knowing that we're carrying it.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Jerry. You mean to tell me the media designated representative of black people, John Lewis, a U.S. congressman, ain't put out no kind of statement or sounding? Now, to be fair to John Lewis, I have checked his record several times, and he has voted consistently since the 1990s against the expansion of the drug war and even wants to roll it back. But he hasn't said anything. We're not hearing anything from the usual, you know, showcase black people in the system, Jerry. They're not saying anything.
Well, see, I'm not sure if you can hear me when I start giggling as soon as you start making that statement, because no, none of that has happened. You know, John Lewis has done a lot for us, But when we get down to the nitty gritty, you know, when we get down to the nitty gritty, most of that has just been showcase or symbolism.
Right.
Now, symbolism is it's great. It's great because it unites the people. But if that's all you're going to do, it means nothing. It means nothing because symbolism is something that you use to alert folks to stuff.
Yeah.
And it unconsciously makes us aware of things. But if we're not aware to it consciously, and when I say consciously, I don't mean it like how the people, it's a lot of black people that use it. They use it in the wrong context.
Okay.
But when we're talking about consciously knowing something, this is something that we are aware of, something that we can see with our own two eyes, no matter what the screen is. And none of these people are doing this for us. They might send some signals out, and then they'll point to it after we already done been going through the destructions. Well, I sent you a message. Well, that don't help if we don't know what the message is.
Right.
You know, so no, I don't agree with none of that, what they're talking about. When John Lewis came up and he said that about Donald Trump, it was great. It was great to see somebody do that. But it's white women that's pointing this stuff out a lot more in depth than he is. Now, that's something that he should be ashamed about, that they going at it harder than he is.
Mm.
And he's been a veteran in this, supposedly. We know, for those of us that listen to Tando and those of us who've read the Civil Rights, we know what Dave mean when he say, have you read the Civil Rights?
Right.
It doesn't mean anything to you. And he was a component of that. So when he show us symbolism, and for all of the people who just happen to hear something in school, or either hear their parents who don't know much about it, because I teach my mother a lot of this stuff as I'm learning, and she can't believe that she didn't figure it out when she was younger. So when I be like, I should have known this a long time ago, how could I? If my mother, who taught me everything that I know, if she didn't know, how could she teach me?
Mm.
And then we have these people who representing the civil rights back then that's only giving us portions of certain things and leaving everything else behind, but yet and still we see when they have these White House dinners and everything, they didn't show up to the inauguration, but they showed up to the party later on.
Mm. Right.
You know, what does that mean?
Yeah, they are gatekeepers. No. That's what that means. They're gatekeepers. And, you know, John Lewis doesn't get to rest on his laurels as a grassroots activist during the 1960s. What has he done since he joined USA Inc. as a board member elected from the state of Georgia? And
I mean,
symbolism to me is not something I want in a politician. What I want from a politician is the ability to go in there and cut deals and make deals that's going to benefit the people you so-called represent. In that regard, all of them have failed to deliver anything meaningful to black people. And I'm talking about the so-called black representatives. Let's just call them black Democrats. We don't even have to talk about black Republicans because, they ain't doing nothing. They're denying racism even exists in some cases. But anyway, yeah. But
I mean, Scotty, before you send me off, let me just ask this question. And it's a question that we done heard, whether it was through song or what have you, in our community. The question that we always have to ask is, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the question that you have to ask, because we pay these people on a regular basis. What have they done for us lately?
Yeah, show me some legislation.
And with that being said, I'm going to mute my line, man.
Yeah, thank you,
Jerry. Brother.
You're welcome, Jerry. You're welcome. Yeah, show me some legislation that you passed, that you got co-sponsors and you know how to wheel and deal in Washington, D.C. Show me, you know, like they say in Missouri. Ain't that supposed to be the show me state, or that might be Kansas. I could be wrong. Anyway, I do want to jump on this last story. I'll go a little bit over, not too much. I'm going to skip the podcast that I did with Mr. Paul Porter. You can check that out in the archives of BTR News on blacktalkradionetwork.com or our YouTube channel or any of the other distribution points that we are utilizing right now. You'll find that. But I am going to play this clip. It may be about 8 minutes long of Mr. Porter after I did the interview with him, he called me the next day. We had a conversation offline and discussed some certain things. And so then he called back. He called into the show while it was live. And I'm just going to let you listen, man. I'm like, this is unbelievable, but at the same time, it's not. So let's go ahead and listen to Mr. Bob Romanek. I'm loading the video so we can get to the audio. Again, this is on raprehab.com. Paul Porter, my one-on-one with Bob Romanek on his use of nigger on air at KQQZ. All right, let's go ahead and roll that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Bob, man, I'm a black guy. I got a question, man. Yeah, I'm this black man. Yeah, I'm always.
Okay, that audio is a bit uneven. Let me see if I can rectify that. What I don't like about SoundCloud, while we are distributing right now on SoundCloud, I don't know how long that's going to last. Let me refresh that. I think I have to go to their main website to get a control of the volume of the media player, because I can't control it with my mixer. It's too uneven. So let y'all give me a moment. Let's see if I can get to their SoundCloud channel, Industry Ears. They are soundcloud.com/INDUSTRYE, Industry E. So, man, is it going to allow me to control the
Oh, yeah. Hey, Bob, man, I'm a black guy. I got a question, man. Yeah, I'm this black man. Yeah, I'm always proud, man. I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. James Brown, 1968. Here's my question.
I have to stop that because I'm sure y'all can't hear his voice. I'm going to, man, I can't even download it, man, really. Or can I? No, I can't download it. Y'all have to go listen to this yourself. His audio, I'm talking about Bob Romanek, is too low in order for us to put it out over the air. And you're hearing mostly only Mr. Paul Porter. But this guy, this is a 12-minute clip. He uses nigger several times. Now, this is the second time that we know of that this man did a show on the FCC licensed airwaves of KQQZ in St. Louis. And he's saying nigger. And he says it several times during this broadcast, and he just doesn't seem to understand that you can't say nigger on terrestrial radio or television. You can't say that word. And he seems to think that this is under, all falls under freedom of speech. And like Paul pointed out to him, you can't yell fire in a theater. You can't do it. So what makes you think that you can get on FCC licensed airways that have regulations on obscenity on air and profanity, and you're going to just do that? So, I mean, that's I was like, I'm blown away by this. But I'm not seeing anybody else coming out and tackling this except for Paul Porter and Industry Ears and Rap Rehab. I'll be following his lead. They're about to put out a statement with the Parents Television Council, which is a powerful lobbying group of white people. And so going to try to leverage white people against this white person. And we'll see how that turns out. But I'm following Paul Porter's lead on this. There may be some who say, well, we need people like Bob Romanek on the terrestrial publicly licensed airways calling black people niggers. Well, I'm not one of those people, okay? I am not one of those people. Yes, I do like it when racists expose themselves, but we don't need to give license to this hate speech on public, on, that's you, that's me, that's everybody that pay taxes, community radio. You can go on the internet He does a podcast. You can say nigger all you want to, but you don't get to say that on the FCC. But we will see what Ajit Pai, the new FCC chairman and the FCC board, when they hear about this, what they're going to do. They could levy a whole bunch of monetary fines on this, on this particular station. And it was on purpose. It was not by accident. All right. This is the second day that he was on air using that derogatory word for black people. So definitely going to do a follow up with Mr. Porter on this particular story. But I have linked to it if you want to check it out. The audio was too uneven for me to share with you tonight on air. But go check it out. It's on SoundCloud and it's also on raprehab.com. All right, I have come to the end of the broadcast with about 3 minutes over, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, still trying to get used to the new time slot, but I think it's working out great. But also follow Black Talk Radio on YouTube, or you can follow, get a subscription, a free subscription through blacktalkradionetwork.com. Because while I'm not doing a daily broadcast live radio show anymore, just on Saturdays, I am putting out podcasts. I'm doing those pre-recorded. I'm also doing interviews with people in video. You can subscribe to the network and you will be updated on those. Thank you for all those who participated tonight with your questions and your insightful comments. Lots of things to talk about, lots of things to discuss, lots of things to make people in our community aware of that they're not aware of because they plugged into mainstream media and they're being fed a whole bunch of deceptive programming. So that's why I'm not too hard on them, especially when I hear talking points straight from MSNBC coming out of people's mouth. I had to be patient with them and understand that their brains are being programmed by that garbage, man. And so we just got to reach out to them and try to get them to listen more to alternative media. None of this happens without our media partners. So again, want to thank those who have donated and supported the Black Talk Media Project throughout the years. Visit our website at blacktalkmediaproject.org. Please become a media partner and help us to continue to bring independent black voices to you over these airways. That said, recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Slavery is still the law of the land and is primarily race-based, but nobody's safe. And you could become a slave overnight. So before that happens to you, join the abolitionist movement and be a part of this reborn movement to abolish slavery in this country once and for all. That said, peace.